بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، السلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، واركعوا مع الراكعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. After completing the qiyam and prayer, the next act within the prayer that we enter is the act of ruku. So ruku is a very interesting act because it's very delicate, and I'll explain what I mean by that tomorrow. Today I want to take the opportunity to speak about how to perform ruku in a way that is in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Oftentimes we see that first a person tries to, we say in English, you fake it until you make it. You make your physical a certain way, and then the spiritual enters that way as well. So you see a person tries to become a serious student, they pretend to look serious on the surface, and then they slowly become serious as well. Sometimes the surface is easier than the internal. So ruku has a benefit. All of prayer, every position of the prayer has a benefit. And the benefit of ruku can be, we'll speak about it tomorrow, but just very briefly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, there was a huge benefit here. And the benefit here is the fact that actually some of the ulama and the mufassirun, they mentioned وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ was a command to be with the believers, be with the Muslims. Because the umam that came before, they did not have ruku in their prayer. So when they say وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, it's actually one way to specify a khususiyah, a specialty, a specificity of the believers that we perform ruku when we pray. We have two bowing down. We have the ruku and the sajda. And there's a whole fiqh discussion about how ruku can even take the place of sajda. If you recite a verse of sajda, and don't go into sajda right away, but go into ruku right away with the correct intention, it's a valid prostration. That's a different discussion. When we discuss fiqh one day, I'll go into it. In fact, when you see about how Yusuf alayhi salam, how his brothers and his parents bow down to him, one of the Mufassirin mentioned, one of the interpretations is they did ruku to him, not a full sajda. And so, I mean, that's one of the interpretations. And so, ruku is very special. So when a person performs ruku comes easy when a person's able to see how to perform it. So I'm going to quickly go over how to perform it. The hands have three positions in the prayer. One is the fingers are loose, one is they're tight, and one is they're spread wide. So when the fingers are loose, this is done in a few positions. In the takbir tahrima, it's done in the qa'ida or the jalsa. When the fingers are together, this is done in the sajda. When the fingers are wide, this is done in the ruku. In ruku, when we bend into ruku, we grab our knees with our hands, and our fingers are wide, and there's a slight bend in the elbow. Some of the ulama say don't bend the elbow, some say there's a slight bend, not a big bend, a slight bend in the elbow. And the back should become straight such that you can balance a cup of water on top of the back. Now, there's a whole discussion, is the prayer of the women the same as the prayer of the men? That's not today's discussion. So if any sisters have any questions about their ruku, they can email me. Or can speak to some of the knowledgeable sisters that are present. But there is a clear discussion about the separation of the acts of prayer between the men and women. Inshallah, we'll discuss that at the end of this entire series. So ruku is done as follows. When a person is going to perform ruku, they want to make sure that first of all, the majority of the bending comes in the back. Oftentimes we bend from the middle of the back rather than at the waist. So I should say that again. The majority of the bend comes the lower back / the waist. Most of us when we do ruku, we bend in such a way that it looks like this. Now what happens here is the back is arched. And when it's arched, it doesn't complete that flat back that's mentioned within various traditions. So there's two ways of making the back flat. One is just when we stand, most of us stand straight. So bend only at the waist. When you bend only at the waist, then the back naturally remains straight. The other discussion is that when you bend, what you have to do is, it's a little strange, you have to be able to sort of, you know how you suck in your stomach? Well, we shouldn't, but you know how people suck in their stomach? You have to sort of let the stomach go out the other way. The stomach has to sort of flow outwards. So here, you drop your back. This part begins to go down. And the head should not be up like this. The head should not be down like this. The head should be such that the back and the head are straight. And then you're looking at your toes and a slight bend at the elbows. Not a huge bend. If you bend a lot, then you go too low. And if you don't bend enough, then you're not going to be able to reach it. It's a slight bend. And thus, if you were to put anything, I don't know if you have a cup, but if you were to put something on a person's back, is it straight? And the ulama said that you can have a slight bend inwards, but it shouldn't bend outwards. Now, this is based on a person's ability. If someone's back doesn't do it, don't break your back trying. But an important principle to note is that if you see kids who play basketball, I was just at the store buying some groceries for the family, and there's this one Somalian kid. What's his name? I forget his name now. Is it Imad, I think. So I just met him there. And the first time we met, and I just saw him just while his mom put things in the grocery cart, he's just as if he's shooting free throws or doing a jump shot. And that's how people who are very particular about how they play basketball, they go in front of the mirror and they're, is my release just good enough? Am I making the proper, motion? People do that. People do that with a lot of things. People go to a job interview and they start speaking from the mirror to see how they're looking in the proper way. So when we do ruku or sajda, we should actually try it on from the mirror first. We should see, am I bending my back properly? For the first few days, it might be a little difficult. Slowly, we'll get used to it. Don't cause any pain. Don't tear any muscles. Don't pull any ligament, whatever the case, or tear the ligament, pull the muscle, whatever the case may be. Do it slowly. But it's one of the ways to show Allah Ta'ala that I have a lot of honor for the way that you've prescribed the prayer. And there's a benefit there. The past week, I've had a very bad back. I have a back problem. So if you notice, my ruku and prayer has been going longer. Because if you do ruku properly, there's such a wonderful stretch in the back. Actually, it's a bad intention, but it just feels so good. I don't want to leave ruku sometimes. But there's a lot of benefit in ruku. And tomorrow we'll speak about some of the commentary about ruku itself. So for the ruku, try to either bend at the waist, such that you keep the back straight. Or when you go into ruku, try to have the stomach sort of arch out such that the back can drop lower. And it's really something that's based off of practice. And if we practice, inshallah, we'll be able to get it. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who are able to fulfill all the positions of prayer with perfection. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah.